This is Cityscape. I'm Jim Kircher. Coming up, a conversation with author Daniel Handler, better known as Lemony Snicket. For this month's Soundbite segment, in partnership with Sauce Magazine, we're on the road. Last week, host Steve Potter went to the new restaurant Soul Q in the Del Mar Loop. Co-owner David Choi and Sauce Magazine executive editor LaGaia Figueres joined Steve.
Well, congratulations on this new location. And, you know, we're sitting here at the cement table with a built-in grill in the middle of it, and we'll tell people about that in a second. But this all started in a truck, a guy in a truck.
Yeah, so, we started with our taco concept in a food truck. And back then it was 2011, and really food trucks was a new scene as well as far as Korean tacos that hasn't been done in St. Louis as well. So I definitely started out there in my grandma's kitchen with her Korean barbecue, and then started making tacos, and here we are today, yeah, having a Soul Q and Soul Taco. So,
LaGaia, you're pretty up on the food truck scene. How often is it that a food truck evolves into a brick-and-mortar establishment?
These days, it's actually happening more frequently, and really, it's the food truck gives them their chance to become familiar name to folks. We see them popping up all around. I mean, there's a Gorilla Street Food is announced that they're going to be opening one. Sweet Divine, for example, has, you know, opened their brick-and-mortar. So it's actually becoming more common that you start out as a food truck. It gives you the leverage then, you know, and the money to open up a restaurant brick-and-mortar.
David, I would think, though, going from operating a food truck to a more traditional restaurant is no small task. What made you think you could pull it off to begin with?
I mean, honestly, it was just, for one, it's just my love of the cuisine, Korean cuisine, and just my passion for it. First, I started Soul Taco just to introduce, like, the Korean flavors to St. Louis, and then on a more broader spectrum of things, because everyone loves tacos. But then this full-service restaurant, I mean, this is something I always grew up around, doing Korean barbecue, and anytime we wanted to have, like, a night out or you know, even having family at our gathering at our place, we did Korean barbecue at our table.
So Soul Q, we're here in the building, and it's actually two restaurants sort of split down the middle.
Correct, yes. One side on your right will be, as you walk in, it'll be a Soul Taco. And then on your left-hand side, it'll be our full-scale restaurant.
Okay, I can hear the food cooking. As we're sitting here, there is a waitress putting food on the grill that's built into our table. Would you describe this?
Okay, so right here we have our L.A. Kalbi. Kalbi is a marinated short rib. So it's not L.A. because of the city L.A., but it's a lateral angle cut with the short ribs. So you get your bone that you see here, and it's thinly sliced, marinated for 24 hours.
And then on the edge of the grill, there's an area where you're cooking other things at the same time.
Right, so we have these little inserts in the cast iron, which we have our egg souffle, we have onion, jalapenos that can caramelize as well, and then we have our slot for kimchi as well. So as the element cooks here, as the cast iron cooks, then it starts caramelizing the side dishes as well, so which complement the dishes.
Each one of these tables on this side of the restaurant has a grill built into it. It's embedded into this cement table, and I guess that's so it doesn't catch on fire. And then you also have an exhaust fan over the top on each table.
Correct, yes. Yeah. So we have these cement custom tables made by Smart Mouth Designs in Chicago. Buddy of mine, Alex Morales, he made these tables. Yeah, we have the grill in the middle, gas grill, and then we have these fume hoods so our clothes don't smell while we go out, so we could have a night out of town after dinner.
And I might want to mention, too, that we'll have a lot of photos of what we're describing here on the air on our website at stlpublicradio.org. So if listeners would like to go there, they can kind of see the grill and the things that we're talking about.
I think we should explain a little bit, too. He's talking about one very specific cut on the beef, but if people come to this restaurant and they say, I wanted to order from the barbecue menu, they actually have six different cuts of beef, and then I guess you guys have four on the pork they do. You can choose between the shoulder, the belly, the jowl, and the marinated shoulder and belly. So it's not just that they have to have, you know, strictly the L.A. style short ribs here.
Well, you know, I love barbecue, but the first thing that comes to mind for me is paper plates and potato salad, and that's nothing like the experience we're having here.
Right. So really, Korean barbecue is very communal, very family-style oriented, a lot of shared plates. And basically, the reason why I wanted to come up with this concept is, you know, just to have a good time. You know, it's just not your normal put your napkin on your lap and, right. you know, sip yeah. some wine. But I want it almost to have a party-like feel in here as well.
So. Well, let's bring that out. Part of the concept is do it yourself, because you had the option of actually cooking your own meal right here at the table.
Correct, yeah. So you have the option of doing it yourself. Also, we have servers who have basically studied this cuisine this past few months, and yeah, they can help you out, and they're pretty much experts on it as well.
So we call this barbecue. How is it different than the traditional barbecue we're thinking of? Are the seasonings different?
I mean, instead of having us putting all the meats in the smoker slow and low, this is very high heat, and, you know, it's cut very thin, so you're cooking it right on the spot. But
well, let's talk too about some of the sauces that they offer. You have four different sauces. One of them actually has its roots with Pappy's, isn't that right?
Correct.
Didn't you guys enhance one of the Pappy's barbecue
right.
sauces?
Right. So yeah, so we use the Pappy's original, and we put some Korean flavoring in it, some little bit hints of gochujang, some vinegar, some sesame oil, and yeah, so it just gives a different dimension to an already awesome sauce.
We're at Soul Q Barbecue on the Del Mar Loop with co-owner David Choi and LaGaya Figueres from Sauce Magazine. So, David, when I come in here and I don't know anything about doing this, do I get an instruction book or any right. kind of guide that kind of helped me figure out what
well,
I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, each customer gets their own translator right next to... No, I'm just kidding about that. But our servers, they're going to walk you through the whole process. So they're not going to just drop a menu and expect you to know. You know, I don't think it should be a given. I think, for one, they're going to explain what dishes, even with these side dishes that we have here, different kimchis that we have and whatnot, they're going to explain what goes with it.
Well, let's talk about that. In addition to the meats that you mentioned, there are several side dishes, appetizers, and soups.
Correct. Yeah, so when you're sitting down at the barbecue table, you just on the house, traditionally Korean restaurants have side dishes that come with your meal, and these are called banchan. Banchan are all the side dishes right here. We have croquettes, we have sweet bean, we have kimchi cucumber, kimchi kimchi radish, and we have also some bean sprouts as well. So you get all these different side dishes that sort of complement and bring together the whole dish of the meal.
And you were talking a little bit before about, well, how does this compare to the American style of barbecue that we're familiar with? If you think about it, you know, he's offering these beans at the table, and the beans that we might experience are typically baked beans. Well, there's and here they call it Kong beans, and there is a sweetness to them, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They have this sweet soy glaze on there. If you guys would like to try that.
And then, you know, think about things that we have, like coleslaw, for example. I mean, frequently you might have one that's a little bit tangy with a vinegar base. And maybe we could put, you got the sprouts along the lines that are that way. And even some
right.
of the kimchi definitely fit. So, you know, it's almost, if you wanted, you could consider this counterparts to side dishes that we're all very familiar with.
Yeah, that's interesting. You say that. I guess Korean... Korean style coleslaw is like kimchi.
Except for here's a difference. One of the side dishes that is being heated up at the table right now is the Napa kimchi. And David and I had been speaking about this earlier, that you can have kimchi that is cold, but when we heat it up, it does different things to it. I would say that it lends this more like umami flavor, deepening another depth of flavor to it. And it kind of softens it, because kimchi can be kind of pungent.
Absolutely, yes.
For those of folks who aren't familiar, kimchi is actually it's a condiment, a Korean condiment, and it's pretty much fermented vegetables.
Uh-huh.
So that's where it's going to get this really sort of sharp, acidy tang to it.
Well, since you mentioned kimchi, why don't we try some? And I know we're going to try to sample a little of everything that we've got here, which is quite a lot.
Oh, good, because I'm hungry.
Oh, and before we go any further, David, I'm not very adept at chopsticks. I see that you have chopsticks and barbecue.
Right So we definitely have the chopsticks here, but if you're not comfortable with chopsticks, we have forks as well. But yeah, I guess that's interesting. Typically you just use your hands and fingers, but I doubt you would want to do that here with the hot grill and everything as well. So
you just help yourself off the grill.
Yep.
All right, and this is the kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
It's hot. Mm. What do you think, Steve?
It's sort of, yes, it's delicious. Not sweet, I guess, but it's got a very unusual sort of flavor to it.
Well, when he mentioned before that idea of almost like when you put an onion to caramelize, you get some of those softened flavors in the same way when you heat up that Napa cabbage.
So, since I'm the novice here, David, walk me through this. What do you think I should try next, and how should I go about it? Give me a little direction.
Well, I'll try these lettuce wraps.
Okay.
So, basically, we'll bring some lettuce out here for you. And you get to create your own wrap with the cooked meat.
So I just take a piece of lettuce.
Yep, I would take a piece
like
of
that.
Lettuce. Correct. And then I would take one of these pieces of L.A. cut meat.
Okay.
And then we have our dipping sauces here. I would definitely...
What are my choices? What should I try?
So this one goes really well with L.A. kalbi. This is called samjang.
What's that?
It's a mixture of gochujang and another fermented soybean paste.
Okay, I've got that.
And I would put some rice in it.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
And if you want to add that a little extra kick, there's that sweet celery jalapeno relish.
You want the extra kick. Go for it.
Are you sure?
Yes.
If you like that.
Just try to be a little Korean for a day.
There we go.
And then, yep.
He chose
just wrap
one
it and use,
dinky
use
jalapeno ring.
All right, just fold it over.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Look at you. You're a pro.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That's good.
You're eating it with your hands and you're not even getting messy yet.
Yet is the key word. I have seven or eight bowls here in front of me of different kinds of sides and things. Would I be able to add any of this to my wrap just as I go along?
Or? Yeah, I mean, like I said before, there's really no rules to it. We even have these croquettes. If you want a little crunch to it, you can put that in there. But
you're going to love that. That's a
what is this?
Beef croquette.
And what is that exactly?
It's almost like a mashed potato hush puppy. But
I get the hush puppy part, yeah. That's good. Can I pass you anything?
I want one of everything.
All right, there are several foods that we're cooking around the side of the grill. I had the kimchi. What are the other two again? What is that? There's one that sort of looks like an omelet.
It is. It's an egg souffle, they call it. But
is this the way I do it? Do I just go for it like that?
Yes, sir.
What our listeners didn't get to see is that it was poured in, the egg batter was like poured out in a tea kettle. And it just sits in there, and then what did it take, about maybe 5 minutes or so to cook it?
Yeah, about 5 minutes until, it cooks it, and it's just another additional side dish.
You know, I mentioned earlier all I knew about barbecue was paper plates and potato salad. You don't have potato salad, but I did see potato pancakes in a couple different varieties on your menu.
Right, so as appetizers, as you're waiting for your meal to be prepared, we have assortment of pancakes as well, which... Traditionally, it's not going to be a maple syrup type pancake, but they're more savory pancakes. And we have kimchi pancakes. We have potato pancakes. So we also have a seafood pancake as well.
You know what you would really like also from the appetizer menu, Steve?
What's that?
The sole wings. Delicious. Delicious. The sauce on those is spectacular.
What's that like?
It's sweet and spicy.
I did notice on the menu also you have a couple different sort of, some St. Louis beers, some Korean beers, and I think something else.
Yeah, so we have different craft brews here. We have some Schlafly, and we also have some Four Hands here as well. And then we also have Korean beers, two different ones. They're more, one's a pilsner, one's a lager, I believe, and they're more light and crisp.
Uh-huh. Some interesting craft cocktails.
Absolutely. I had a friend from Chicago. His name is Alexis Martinez, and I used to stay with him and his parents at when I lived in Chicago for a brief time. And he's just a very talented mixologist, and he created this whole menu with me and him. And we have some awesome fresh made from scratch drinks.
Actually, Steve, this is an interesting place for people who want to try a Korean spirit. Predominantly, the cocktails are made with soju. And you can get it just as is, or you can find it in a cocktail. Another one is makgeolli, which is, if you want to tell folks a little bit about that.
Right. So soju and makgeolli, those are these individual bottles that traditionally at Korean restaurants, people would just get makgeolli, soju or beer, and that's their only drink. They don't typically don't have mixed drinks or anything like that. But yeah, soju is very smooth, and I would say when it's chilled, it goes down very smooth. You definitely want it chilled. Don't ask for a hot bottle of soju. But yeah, it's definitely a mix of, I would say, sake and vodka in between those two.
In this month's issue of the magazine, actually, for those who aren't familiar with soju or makgeolli or some other Asian spirits, we did a feature story on the rise of certain Asian spirits that were coming seen more here in the St. Louis area. So check out that feature story in the February issue of the magazine.
David, this side of the restaurant, this side of Q, the barbecue side, is right now just open for dinner. Do you plan on expanding that? Or?
You know what? For now, we're going to take it as dinner only, and then we'll see from there. Right now, it's we're sharing a kitchen with Soul Taco, and on any given day, there can be 20, 30 WashU students come right at once at Soul Taco. So we sort of want to gauge it first, and we're definitely open to the idea of doing lunch and dinner.
And you're also open 7 days a week.
Correct, yes. So
it's because David Choi does not stop. You never sit still.
I do not sleep.
David, I can only imagine, you know, what the hoops you jump through when you open a new business, particularly a food business. And I understand that with the gas grills you have installed and the tables, the building code was sort of a challenge for you.
Yeah, it was. We just had a challenge of this being the first time they've seen anything like this with the griddles, with the gas stoves, the induction burners, with these, you know, fume hoods that look like a periscope that comes straight down to your table. They just had they had to look into it a little bit more and make sure, you know, everything was up to code.
And I might just want to mention the ambiance of the place. I love the way you decorated it. Is there a story behind what you've done here?
We like to call it control chaos. yeah, it's definitely we. I don't know if you could tell on the Soul Q side, it's a little bit of more darker ambiance than the brightness of Soul Taco. So you definitely have the fun side of Soul Taco. We have a Taekwondo fighter with a luchador mask. We have a mural of that. We have an actual 1950s box truck that we cut up and made a replica Soul Taco truck on there, and it's on the wall.
And I noticed all these old painted radios.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So it's right behind the host stand. We have the radios that are painted in different neon colors, and it's just a fun vibe.
They actually do work, too.
No kidding, really.
Yes, they
wow.
do.
We're at Soul Q Restaurant in the Del Mar Loop. We're with David Choi, co-owner of Soul Q, and with LaGaya Figueres, executive editor of Sauce Magazine. I thank you so much for being down here. This has been a great experience. I'll definitely come back. But my final question for you, it's probably the most important one. What's for dessert?
For dessert, no, we'll take a shot of soju. How about that?
Oh, no.
Is that not a good idea?
No, it is.
It's a great idea.
David, thanks so much, LaGaya. Good to see you.
You too.
Awesome.
Thank you, Steve.
And coming up next on Cityscape, Jim Kircher has an interview with Lemony Snicket. This is St. Louis Public Radio.